Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. When night falls and shadows play tricks on your mind, when every rustle sends a chill down your spine, that's when we invite you to join us. In the cloak of darkness, we unravel tales that might just keep you up at night. So, draw the curtains, light a candle, and lean in close. Tonight, we've got a tale that'll make you think twice about picking up a stray coin. The embers crackled and hissed, sending a warm amber glow across the study. Heavy velvet drapes shut out the night, while the ancient wooden floorboards creaked in protest at the slightest movement. The room smelled of musty books and pine from the burning logs, overlaid with a hint of pipe tobacco. A grandfather clock stood sentry in one corner, its rhythmic tick-tock punctuating the whispers that wove between the gathered townspeople. Ruth, a withered woman with silver hair pulled back into a neat bun, leaned forward in her armchair, her bright blue eyes reflecting the firelight. "Children," she began, her voice a raspy lilt, "as All Hallows' Eve draws near, I find it our duty to revisit the tales of old. Tales that have shaped this town." There was a collective shiver among the young and old alike. Henry, a middle-aged man with a salt and pepper beard, shifted uneasily. "Aunt Ruth, must we?" he whispered, recalling the sleepless nights of his youth after hearing such stories. She shot him a stern glance. "It is our history, Henry, and history should never be forgotten." Then, turning her gaze back to the room, she continued, "A century ago, our quaint town faced a tragedy, a disaster so profound that it changed us forever." Margaret, the stout woman sitting opposite Ruth, sighed deeply. "The mine collapsed," she murmured, her fingers tightening around her knitting needles. A collective murmur of agreement spread through the room. The younger children looked around, wide-eyed, sensing the weight of the words but not truly understanding them. Ruth's voice grew softer, more intimate. "Over 50 souls lost to the abyss. Fathers, brothers, sons, all gone in an instant." The town was shrouded in grief. As she painted a vivid picture of the town's sorrow, the listeners could almost hear the echoing cries of the bereaved, the hushed laments that echoed through the streets. The sensation was so strong that more than one person glanced over their shoulder, half expecting to see a grieving widow from the past. "And in the midst of our sorrow," Ruth continued, "a coin was minted. A coin to remember the lost. But as with many things born of grief, it carried a darkness with it." Henry felt a chill run down his spine. The clock seemed to tick louder, its pendulum swing casting eerie shadows on the wall. "The cursed coin," he whispered. Ruth nodded gravely. "Legend says that the coin doesn't just carry the memory of those lost, but their very souls, trapped and tormented. And every Halloween, it emerges from its hiding place, searching for a new soul to add to its collection." A gust of wind blew outside, causing the drapes to flutter and the flames to dance wildly. The room grew colder, and the listeners drew closer together, seeking comfort in numbers. Ruth leaned back, her tale told. The firelight cast her long shadow against the wall, making it seem as if other, less corporeal listeners had joined their gathering. The silence was palpable. Each person in the room felt a bond with the past, a chilling connection with the souls trapped within the cursed coin. And as the clock struck midnight, a new chapter in the legend was about to begin. The morning sun poured into the small thrift shop, illuminating shelves crammed with trinkets, relics, and odds and ends of every kind. Each object, worn and touched by time, had its own story to tell. The store's bell jingled merrily as the door swung open, admitting Ronald into the realm of the forgotten. Ronald, a tall man with graying temples and wire-rimmed glasses, was the kind of person who could sense the stories embedded in objects. His keen eyes, sharpened by years of experience, darted about, scanning the shelves with practiced ease. In his heart, he wasn't just an antique collector, he was a curator of history. Near the back of the shop, in a display case that had seen better days, something caught his eye. A small, tarnished coin, seemingly unremarkable, lay nestled amidst old stamps and trinkets. But to Ronald, its simplicity spoke of authenticity. He beckoned the shopkeeper over. "What's this?" he inquired, pointing to the coin. The shopkeeper, a rotund man with a bushy white beard, peered down and grimaced slightly. "Ah, that old thing. Local lore, sir. It's said to be the cursed coin, meant as a token of remembrance for the lost miners a century ago." Ronald chuckled softly. "Every town has its tales, doesn't it? How much for it?" The shopkeeper hesitated, his fingers drumming on the counter. "Well, sir, it ain't the price that should concern you. Some say that come Halloween, That coin brings bad luck. Even disappearances. Ronald raised an eyebrow, intrigued yet skeptical. Disappearances. Surely, you jest. The shopkeeper's eyes held a hint of genuine concern. Just last year, young Emma Thornton vanished without a trace on Halloween night. And her brother, 2 years before that. All after coming into contact with that coin. Ronald studied the coin, the weight of its history suddenly pressing on him. Yet, his logical mind dismissed the superstitions. Well, I'm not one to shy away from a good story. I'll take it. As Ronald placed the coin into his pocket, he couldn't shake off a strange sensation, a whisper of unease that sent a shiver up his spine. But he shrugged it off, attributing it to the storekeeper's tale. Outside, the sun cast long, dancing shadows across the cobblestone streets. Ronald felt the coin's cold metal against his thigh, its presence oddly reassuring yet mysterious. As he walked away, the shop's bell jingled once more, its tone echoing with a hint of foreboding. Autumn leaves rustled outside the grandiose mansion, their vibrant hues contrasting against the twilight's indigo curtain. Laughter and music spilled from within, inviting guests into a world of masked revelry and festive celebration. Tonight was the annual Halloween party thrown by Victoria, a prominent figure in town, known for her lavish gatherings. Ronald, dressed in a sophisticated black suit, entered the heart of the celebration, holding court in the middle of a rapt audience. The chatter around him was animated, but when he produced the tarnished coin, a hush fell over the group. "This, my friends," he began, the coin glinting in the dim light, "is a piece of our town's history. Legend has it that it's cursed. But I think it's just a tale spun by the superstitious." Damien, a lanky figure with sharp features and a mischievous glint in his eyes, stepped forward. Clad in a jester's outfit, he scoffed, "Cursed. Sounds like child's bedtime stories." Ronald smirked. "Care to wager on that, Damien? Hold on to the coin until midnight, and if nothing happens, I'll give you $100. Damien's eyes flashed with interest. "Make it 200, and you have a deal." Shaking hands, Ronald passed the coin over. "Good luck," he said, the words carrying a hint of irony. The party roared back to life, with guests moving to the rhythmic beats, their costumes a blur of color and creativity. Yet, as the night wore on, the clock's looming hands cast a shadow over Damien's bravado. Every whisper, every unexpected touch, every cool draft seemed amplified, gnawing at his nerves. His friends, noticing his increasing discomfort, teased him mercilessly. "Feeling the curse yet, Damien?" Claire, dressed as a dark angel, taunted, her laughter echoing in his ears. He tried to laugh it off, just getting into the spirit of things. He quipped, but his voice lacked its usual confidence. As the pendulum of time swung closer to midnight, Damien's once skeptical demeanor transformed. The weight of the coin felt increasingly heavy in his pocket, its cold metal burning through the fabric, a constant reminder of the impending hour. Whispers spread throughout the party, the legend of the coin reigniting interest and speculation. Guests stole glances at the ornate grandfather clock, its ticking an ever-present reminder of the approaching deadline. The atmosphere grew tense, the anticipation palpable. Damien, surrounded by a mix of worried and curious faces, felt trapped, the weight of countless eyes upon him. He pulled out the coin, turning it over in his trembling hands, and wondered if he had made a grave mistake. The mellow glow of lanterns bathed the room in an eerie light, casting elongated shadows on the walls. As the party raged on, Damien's senses heightened. The hum of conversations, the rustling of costumes, the clink of glasses, everything seemed sharper, more intrusive. And amidst this cacophonous orchestra, Damien began to discern something else. Whispers, nearly imperceptible, fluttered around him like mournful will-o'-the-wisps. Soft, fleeting, yet undeniably present. As he tried to locate the source, his eyes caught fleeting movements at the periphery of his vision, shadows that darted just out of sight, elusive and tantalizing. "Who's there?" he muttered, spinning around, trying to catch a glimpse of the elusive figures. But every time he turned, the shadows danced away, retreating into the murkier corners of the room. His heart raced, the weight of dread pushing down on his chest. Desperate to rid himself of the coin's grip, Damien fumbled in his pocket, but his fingers, slick with perspiration, betrayed him. The coin slipped from his grasp, landing with a muted clink on the hardwood floor. The room's chatter ceased momentarily as eyes followed the coin's trajectory. And before Damien could react, a slender hand reached down and snatched it up. Lydia, a teenager with raven black hair and an inquisitive gaze, examined the coin with a mix of fascination and amusement. Her pirate costume, complete with an ornate eye patch and faux cutlass, seemed fitting for one who had just discovered buried treasure. "That's not yours." Damien's voice came out more forceful than he intended, his desperation evident. Lydia smirked. "Finders keepers, right." "Listen," Damien began, trying to steady his voice. "That coin, it's not what you think. You need to give it back." The teen rolled her eyes. "Relax, old man. It's just a coin. You've had too much to drink." Despite Damien's protests, Lydia pocketed the cursed artifact and disappeared into the throngs of partygoers, leaving a distraught Damien in her wake, the weight of the coin's legend pressing heavily upon him. Lydia, emboldened by her find, confidently strode down the mansion's ornate corridors, eager to showcase her newfound treasure to her friends. The dim hallway's lanterns cast dancing patterns on the floor, their warm flickers reflecting off the grand mirrors lining the walls. As she neared a window, a chilling draft kissed her neck, making her shiver involuntarily. She hesitated, casting a furtive glance outside. The moonlit garden, once serene and beautiful, now seemed like a maze of foreboding silhouettes. And there, amongst the shrubbery, she thought she saw a figure, fleeting, indistinct, gazing intently at her. Shaking her head, she tried to dispel her unease, attributing it to her overactive imagination. But as she continued her journey, more indistinct figures appeared, behind curtains, within reflections, atop grand chandeliers. Each time she tried to focus, they vanished, leaving an echoing void of silence and unease. June, a close friend of Lydia's with fiery red hair and a penchant for adventure, noticed her discomfort. "Lydia, what's going on? You look like you've seen a ghost." Lydia hesitated, then whispered, I think I'm being followed. By shadows." June, ever the skeptic, tried to allay her fears. "Come on, Lydia. It's just the Halloween vibes getting to you." Pulling out the coin, Lydia's voice trembled. "This, I took it from Damien. And ever since, strange things have been happening." The gravity of the situation hit June. She remembered overhearing whispers about the cursed coin. "We need to get rid of it," she said, urgency lacing her voice. "We can't just throw it away. Someone might find it. We need to pass it on." The idea formed almost instantly in Lydia's mind. "The trick or treaters. There are dozens of kids outside. We can slip it into one of their bags." June nodded. "Let's find a candy wrapper, put the coin inside, and seal it. It'll just look like another piece of candy." The duo, fueled by a mix of fear and determination, hastily enacted their plan. Lydia felt a pang of guilt, but the haunting specter's relentless pursuit left her little choice. With the cursed coin wrapped discreetly as a piece of candy, they ventured outside, where a sea of eager trick-or-treaters clamored. They chose a young, unsuspecting child dressed as a fairy, her wings glinting under the streetlights. As Lydia slipped the disguised coin into the child's treat bag, she whispered a silent apology, praying that the legend would prove to be just a myth after all. But the heavy sense of foreboding in her heart suggested otherwise. In a cozy living room, adorned with plush sofas and walls lined with books, Henry sat engrossed in his nightly reading. As a journalist, he had a penchant for truth, often dismissing superstitions and legends as mere fodder for the gullible. But the tales Lydia and June brought him this evening were too compelling to ignore. "You honestly believe that a mere coin caused all these eerie occurrences?" Henry questioned, raising an eyebrow skeptically as he listened to the girls recount their chilling experiences. Lydia, her voice tinged with exasperation, replied, "I didn't believe it myself, Henry, until those shadows started chasing me. It felt so real, so malevolent." Henry sighed, rubbing his temples. "All right, let's assume for a moment that there is some truth to this legend. There's bound to be a rational explanation somewhere." Taking the challenge upon himself, Henry decided to dig deeper. The town's archives, a treasure trove of dusty manuscripts, forgotten letters, and time-worn newspaper clippings, was his starting point. With a lantern in hand, he ventured into the dimly lit, musty room where history whispered secrets from every corner. Hours turned into days as he combed through the plethora of information, connecting dots, and piecing together stories from the past. Among the stacks of old papers, he found a journal entry dated over a century ago, written by a town elder named Abigail. It detailed the events surrounding the tragic accident and the minting of the commemorative coin. Most intriguingly, the journal hinted at a ritual, a way to free the trapped souls. Reading aloud, Henry recited, "To those who seek to break the curse and free the souls bound within, the coin's possessor must willingly embrace the spirits, offering them a chance at redemption. Under the crescent moon's light, surrounded by candles, the holder must recite the incantation thrice. Only then shall the trapped find release." Henry's heart raced. Here, in his hands, lay a potential solution to the curse. Yet the challenge was evident. They needed to retrieve the coin and find someone willing to risk it all to perform the ritual. As he pondered over the journal's revelations, a realization dawned upon him. Sometimes, legends hold more than just a kernel of truth. And sometimes, the line between belief and skepticism blurs, giving way to a much larger reality than one ever imagined. The town, bathed in the soft glow of the setting sun, was a picture of autumnal beauty. Streets were bustling with children excitedly trading candies and revelers heading home after a night of festivities. But for Lydia and June, the beautiful scenery was tainted by the lurking shadow of the cursed coin. As they hurriedly navigated through the crowd, Lydia felt the chilling embrace of the unseen spirits. Every whisper of the wind, every rustling leaf, and every fleeting shadow seemed to echo their malevolent intentions. The weight of the coin, hidden safely in her pocket, felt increasingly burdensome. "We need to be rid of this," Lydia exclaimed, her voice edged with panic. "Maybe we should just throw it into the river and be done with it." June, her brows furrowed in thought, replied, "That might just be a temporary fix, Lyd. What if it's found years later? We'd just be postponing the curse." Their debate was interrupted by the soft, raspy voice of an elderly woman. "You can't escape them that way, dearie," she whispered, emerging from the shadows of a nearby alleyway. Dressed in faded, vintage clothing and leaning heavily on a gnarled wooden cane, her eyes bore the weight of years and countless untold stories. Startled, Lydia asked, "Who are you?" The old woman, a melancholic smile gracing her lips, introduced herself. "I am Clara. My great-grandfather was one of the souls trapped within that accursed coin. My family has been seeking its whereabouts for generations." June, both skeptical and intrigued, inquired, "Why? Why have you been searching for it?" Clara, sighing deeply, responded, "To free him and the others. To put an end to this century-old curse that's plagued our town and my lineage. I may know a way, but it comes with its own risks." The girls, driven by a mix of hope and desperation, decided to trust this mysterious stranger. United by a common goal, they set out to confront the curse, armed with Clara's knowledge, Henry's findings, and their unwavering determination. The atmosphere grew tense as the trio sat in Clara's ancient-looking living room, surrounded by worn furniture, faded portraits, and countless trinkets that hinted at her family's long lineage. The smell of old wood and incense filled the air, adding to the aura of age-old mysteries that seemed to hang in the space. "My family's history is intertwined with that coin," Clara began, her voice low and filled with emotion. "Every Halloween since its creation, a member of my family has attempted to free the trapped souls. Each tried and each failed, leaving them tormented and desperate." Lydia, compassion in her eyes, softly said, "That sounds unbearable." Clara nodded, her gaze distant. "It became a mission passed down through generations. My mother tried. My grandmother tried. And now, it falls to me. But every year, the curse grows stronger, and the spirits more restless." "But why have all your attempts failed?" June questioned, her analytical mind seeking answers. A sigh escaped Clara's lips. "We knew part of the ritual but always felt something was missing. A key component that would complete the ceremony and release the souls." Henry, having joined the group, interjected, "And that's where the journal I found comes in. It provides the final piece to the puzzle." The room was filled with a renewed sense of hope, a possibility that this Halloween might be different. With determination burning in their eyes, Clara declared, "We have to do this together. The combined knowledge of my family's traditions and the instructions from the journal might be our best shot." June, always the planner, suggested, "We should conduct the ritual at the very site of the tragedy. It's where the energy is strongest, and it's where those souls lost their lives." Everyone nodded in agreement. The pieces were falling into place, but time was of the essence. As they prepared, the group felt a mix of anticipation and trepidation. They were about to confront a force that had eluded resolution for over a century. But with Clara's revelations and their collective resolve, They held on to the hope that the night's end might finally bring peace to the tormented spirits of their town. The night was darkening, casting long eerie shadows as the group made their way to the very spot of the tragedy. Ancient trees, their branches gnarled and twisted, framed the area, standing as silent witnesses to the horror that had taken place a century ago. A biting wind carried with it the faintest of whispers, like anguished cries from a distant past. Henry spread out a faded map, detailing the precise spot to set up for the ritual. June and Lydia arranged a circle of candles, their flames flickering and dancing, struggling against the increasingly hostile wind. Clara began placing ritualistic symbols at specific points, each marking a significant aspect of the ceremony. As they delved deeper into the ritual, the atmosphere thickened with tension. Whispers grew louder, evolving into discernible pleas and lamentations. Lydia clutched the cursed coin tightly, feeling the trapped spirit's desperation emanating from the cold metal. Suddenly, dark clouds began to converge overhead, rapidly obscuring the moon and stars. The wind picked up ferocity, and rain began to lash down, reminiscent of the stormy night that had seen so many lives lost. Clara raised her voice over the escalating tempest, reciting ancient verses passed down in her family. Each word resonated with power, drawing a reaction from the unseen entities around them. Henry, holding the journal with its invaluable instructions, shouted the next steps to the group, guiding them through the process while rain drenched the pages. June, with unwavering focus, chanted in tandem with Clara, their voices harmonizing and amplifying the ritual's potency. As the climax of the ceremony neared, Lydia, holding the coin aloft, felt an electric charge in the air. The spirits, sensing their impending freedom, surged forward, their presence so intense it was almost tangible. The wind howled, and the trees groaned, echoing the tumultuous battle between the living and the ethereal. And then, with a blinding flash of light, a silence so profound enveloped the area. The storm ceased abruptly, replaced by a serene stillness. The raindrops paused midair, and the wind held its breath, as if time itself had frozen for a heartbeat. The coin, once a cold metal, now felt warm to Lydia's touch, pulsating with a gentle energy, like a heartbeat returning to its natural rhythm after a perilous race. The clock's relentless ticking echoed through the now clear night, counting down to the witching hour. The world seemed to pause, awaiting the culmination of a century-old curse. Lydia, drenched and breathless, took a deep breath, holding the coin before her. To those who've been trapped, tormented for ages past, she began, her voice quivering yet filled with determination, know that we stand before you, not as enemies or captors, but as liberators. We promise you release from this wretched confinement and vow to remember and honor your souls, so you may find peace. June, Clara, and Henry watched, their eyes filled with hope, their hands intertwined, forming an unbreakable bond of solidarity. As the final minutes to midnight dwindled, the sky, once dark and forbidding, was suddenly illuminated by a massive bolt of lightning. It struck the ground, its brilliant arc connecting the heavens to the earth, and the world felt the intensity of its energy. The raw power combined with Lydia's fervent plea and the potency of the ritual, creating a force beyond comprehension. For a moment, there were ethereal figures visible, souls trapped for so long, their faces showing years of anguish and despair. But as they emerged, they began to change, their expressions turning to those of relief and gratitude. They reached out, touching the boundaries of the circle, their hands passing through the flames of the candles. With each touch, a spirit was released, dissolving into a silvery mist, rising towards the heavens. And then, as suddenly as it began, the tumultuous night was over. The coin, once the harbinger of doom, began to crumble. It disintegrated into fine dust, carried away by the gentle breeze, signifying the end of its terrible reign. The first rays of dawn painted the horizon with hues of pink and gold. Birds began to sing, their melodies a testament to the newfound peace. The town, once plagued by fear every Halloween, woke up to a serene morning, forever released from the coin's haunting legacy. Lydia, June, Clara, and Henry, united by their harrowing experience, looked at each other with a mix of exhaustion and elation. They had faced the darkest elements of their town's history and emerged victorious. They knew that this Halloween would be remembered not for fear, but for redemption and the promise of a brighter future. And so, dear listeners, the tale comes to an end. But remember, in the world of our scary stories, nothing truly ends. There's always another story, another legend lurking in the shadows, waiting for the perfect moment to be told. Sleep tight and let not the whispers of the night disturb your rest. Until next time, keep your eyes open and your lights on.